the marketing world and you're looking for inspiration, or you're a business leader who wants to understand what good marketing looks like, you're busy. You don't have time to sit around listening to a rambling 3-hour podcast. We get it. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast, where we celebrate the marketing rock stars that deliver truly remarkable marketing. And you'll hear short interviews with marketing execs who share stories about the best marketing they've ever done, how it delivered a huge impact, and how they overcame all the challenges to make it happen. If you aspire to be remarkable, you'll walk away with ideas on how to do truly epic marketing, getting right to the content of what you need for busy professionals. This is the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Now your host, Eric Eden.
Welcome to today's episode. Our guest today is Atiba D'Souza. He is a keynote speaker, a marketing guru, and a video Superman. Welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself for a minute or two, who you are and what you do?
Yes, they call me the video content Superman because I run a video marketing agency. And we work primarily with medical professionals who are leaving insurance, going to cash-based services. And we help them generate leads using storytelling and video to educate their clients. I've been in marketing in tech since we built our first search engine way back in 1996. I actually had a search engine online before Google.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, we didn't make nearly as much as they did. So
time flies when you're having fun, though, right?
Yes, and we did have a lot of fun. That's for sure.
So tell us a story about some of the best marketing you've done that you're the most proud of.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to talk fast and choose two, even though you only said one. I'm trying to cheat, y'all.
It'll be a double header episode.
Yes. So real quick, way back in 2009 into 2000, we were working with a client who was a caterer. And we did a wedding giveaway. Okay. But get this. We did a wedding giveaway using QR codes and Facebook signups back in 2010. This was before QR codes were a part of marketing. It was insane because people were like, what is this thing? And how do I even use it? I didn't know my camera on my phone could read this thing. And Facebook groups were just launching, and we launched into groups. And that was such a fantastic opportunity because, one, it gave away a free wedding, which was a $60,000 wedding. But it put our client on the map in terms of the reach that they had in their community and their ability to pull together literally 10, 15 vendors who all offered a free wedding to a lucky bride and groom. So super, super happy with that one. Another one really much more recently is we have a client right now who we're getting, and this is a stat that we created, to be completely honest with you. It's view through click through rate. So you have a video on YouTube, somebody watches it, but how many of those people that watch it actually click on your website, on the link in the description, and go to your website? We have a client over the last 4 months, so this is recent, who's averaging 30% of her viewers are clicking and going to her website. I don't know any other marketing getting close to 30% click through rate. So those are a couple, real quick, double header.
Those are very cool stories. The first one about the QR codes, I remember back in 2010, I did not think the QR codes were going to be a thing. I'm like, this is stupid. But really what made it work was COVID, because they didn't want to pass out the menus anymore. Now it's like, where is the QR code? That's so funny how technology marches on over time. But what I like about that story is you were right there on the bleeding edge and did something very creative with it long before we had the QR codes and Super Bowl ads bouncing around and had a great offer. And so I assume that they, like you said, it put the client on the map because of how much exposure it got. It's a pretty exciting offer, like $60,000 wedding. Someone gets that's, I assume it got massive engagement, right?
this massive engagement. And like I said, this was a time where Facebook groups were still brand new, and we launched it in a group. And so everything we were doing was cutting edge with it. Everything we were doing was new. And they got almost 1,000 people to register for a free wedding in their local area. But the goodwill that it built, not just with the couples, but then also the other vendors, it literally propelled them for the next 6 years. Wow. That one promotion.
That's pretty awesome. And I love hearing those sort of creative stories about just one promotion and campaign that can have that sort of impact. It's not always just about doing one-off things, but when you can do something that's that impactful, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then with your second story, the thing I'm curious about, why was it that the client was able to get such a high click-through rate? Because that's right, like 30% is never a click-through rate on anything. I think the average is like 6% or something on Google. So what was there a great offer there? Was it just really great content? What was it?
It's the content. And this was the fun part. There wasn't a great offer. It wasn't even about offer at all. The offer literally was go to the website and look at the products. There was no sale or anything. But what we did was we ensured that we spent a lot of time up front understanding the client's audience, understanding their pain points, then helped the client create content in a language using their voice, but in a language that their audience wanted to consume and would understand. And so the content was so freaking brilliant and on point that people were just like, yeah. And because the other side of it is, right, on YouTube, they tell you, hey, if you can get above 30% average view duration, you're doing good. 40% is great. She was getting like 48% average view duration on 10-minute videos. So people were consuming the content. And that was the key. We spent enough time really digging in. And this is one of the things we do with a lot of our clients. Right? And we tell people all the time is you've got to be obsessed with your audience and understanding exactly what it is your audience wants and needs to hear from you, not what you want to say and talk about.
Yeah. Telling the right story is just as good as having a great offer.
It is.
For sure.
Even more important, because if you don't tell the right story, they'll never get to the offer.
So tell me about running a video agency. I'm interested because I have been hearing from a lot of people that while YouTube has been really popular for the last 5 to 10 years, it's really getting even bigger. And because of changes in other marketing channels, a lot of people believe that YouTube is going to take up that slack and be where a lot of people go to. What do you think? I'm just curious.
We're a video first marketing agency, and we start everything at YouTube. So that ought to tell you a little bit about how we feel about YouTube, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Google is the number one largest search intent database in the world. There's no search engine that or platform where people go and search for intentional stuff like Google. Okay. Start there. Google owns YouTube. Google, 2.5 years ago, made a declaration that people want to watch more videos, and they were going to show more videos on page one. So you've got the place where more people are going to search for stuff that they care about than anywhere else in the world, saying, we want to show those people who come to us more videos than we ever have before. And we own the biggest video platform out there.
Yeah.
And yes, it's going to continue to grow, not to mention the argument, the fight that's going on between YouTube Shorts and, say, TikTok, YouTube Shorts and Instagram and Reels. Okay. Not to mention that only boosts it even further. and its growth even more and why it's so prevalent and important. Now, that's one side. There's another side, Eric. There's another side. And the other side is because of the pandemic. So before the pandemic, I was saying video is going to be the future of marketing. Then the pandemic hit and we as humans around the globe had a choice. We could read or we could watch. And to a human, we chose to watch and we stopped reading.
Interesting.
And that pushed the video revolution of video marketing even harder, even faster. So you have these two perfect storms happening simultaneously. And YouTube sitting there as, hey, we're the biggest video platform. Yeah, we're going to keep growing.
It's just really amazing when you think about the human race and how much technology has evolved more in the last 100 years than in the last 6,000, because I can take a video with my iPhone and send it to somebody in Australia or FaceTime with them in real time. And the people 100 years ago didn't even have a hot shower. They didn't have hot showers. And so you just think about like,
mom didn't even know Australia existed. How about that?
it's really wild to think about how the technology is evolving. Have you been following Google and YouTube, how they've gotten rid of, or they're retiring Google Podcasts, and they're now implementing podcasts into YouTube? Have you been following this?
Yes. Yeah. So that's been a big conversation that's been happening for a while. I believe it's partially because one of the things that Google wants to do is consolidate platforms, right? Get all those eyeballs into one, which pushes YouTube even further. But then two, it also encourages, which about time, podcast hosts start creating video. Right? It's about time. And I think this is going to help separate and push people further into creating more video and more content.
And there's incentivizing people to do that, because when you create the video podcasts on YouTube, they give you a lot more promotion and placement, right?
Yes, because it's what they want, right? Because ultimately, and this is the thing to care to understand, you always have to know what a platform cares about. And the thing that YouTube cares about, so ergo Google cares about, is how much time do people spend on the platform and how many videos do they watch? That's what they want to know. And so they'll do anything to help boost that. Because the more time people spend on their platforms, the less time they spend everywhere else.
Do you think this is a moment in podcasting that it could take podcasting to the next level, if you will?
I think it's a moment for some podcasters.
Okay.
No, I'm serious, because it's one of those things where I've talked to a lot of people about it, and some people are frustrated. And some people are like, okay, fine, we'll just go publish our content on YouTube. And they are treating their content that they're publishing on YouTube like they treated the content they publish on every other podcasting platform, and they're missing their opportunity. And if you don't consider the placement, and that's the thing. So one of the big problems that podcasters have is it's very hard to work on placement of your podcast content. It's extremely difficult. It's almost impossible for the most part. What Google and YouTube are giving you is the opportunity to finally fix that problem. But most podcasters that I've talked to want to stick their head in the sand like an ostrich and say, I'm just going to put it the same content that I've always done. That's not going to work.
So is that along the lines of people can't necessarily just take a full episode that's 20 or 30 minutes and just post it up there? They should post perhaps clips like Joe Rogan does?
I think you do both. I think you post the full episode. Okay. However, it's about understanding the placement of the full episode and then understanding the relationship to short form content. I say all the time that people will date you through your short form and marry you through your long form. So you have the opportunity. Again, this is why I said some podcasters are going to be able to take advantage, because when you put the full length video up there of your podcast, then you pull out appropriate clips. You can use those as teasers to get people interested to watch. Again, all getting back to placement. Okay, understanding how we place and position our content so that it can get in front of the right eyeballs that want to consume it.
That makes sense. I like your analogy about the short form and long form content. So taking a step back from the podcast angle on YouTube, when you talk to people through your agency about YouTube, what is the biggest advice you give businesses, marketers about YouTube?
Consistency is key. So if once you do the work, the initial work of making sure you're speaking to your audience, and you know that because it's got to start there, and you got to be talking a language that they want to hear. But once you have that, consistency is key. I liken the YouTube algorithm to your credit score. You could be going along great for a long time and paying your bills on time and have one bad month. And them credit companies, they will come after you and your credit will tank. Your credit score will tank. It only takes missing payments for 1 month. YouTube works the same way. If you're posting and you're consistent in your posting and then you fall off for a couple weeks, they're going to wonder, where'd you go? And then you come back a couple weeks later, they're going to wonder, are you here to stay for real or not? So be consistent. Some people say, oh, I'm going to post every single day. If you can't keep up with that schedule, don't do it. It's better to say, I'm going to do less and be consistent with it than to be overly aggressive and fall short.
So is the algorithm on YouTube, is it just looking for you to be consistent, whether you're doing weekly episodes or daily episodes? It's just looking for not a specific time interval, but it's looking if the pattern is consistent. Is that the case?
That's one of the factors. Absolutely, yes. But it's also the one that if you're not paying attention to, you can screw up really easily. And so we make the advice to people all the time. Look, schedule your videos. And if you decide Monday at 7 a.m. is the time you want them to go out, schedule all of them to go out Monday at 7 a.m.
Interesting.
Create a calendar, put it up there, make it consistent. Now, is YouTube that anal that it has to be Monday at 7? No, but Monday, yes. Don't go Monday this week, Tuesday next week. Monday this week, Wednesday next week, Tuesday the following week.
Interesting. I've heard other YouTubers who are really well accomplished talking about this, but they didn't mention that it was because of the algorithm. I thought they were saying that it's because, oh, that way your subscribers know when to expect your videos. And I was a little bit confused about that because we're very much an on-demand culture these days. Right. Like when I was growing up, we watched TV. Like I had to watch a TV show at 9 p.m. on Thursdays. And I was telling my daughters that, who are teenagers, and they're like, no one ever did that. That's dumb.
Exactly. Like,
but it's for the algorithm.
But the algorithm wants to know that it can count on you to create new content on a schedule.
So I saw a stat. I was researching this. I saw a stat that there's 300,000 YouTube channels that have at least 100,000 subscribers. And that kind of blew my mind. That
blows mine.
Like, there's a lot of people who are doing really well with YouTube. Have you seen that YouTube has a big impact on people's businesses when they do it really well?
So let's talk about why you're on YouTube. And so if you're listening to us right now, this is a really great question. Thank you, Eric, for asking. And let's talk about why you're on YouTube. So I love, because a lot of our clients were starting their YouTube channel. And so I love, as we get closer to 1,000 subscribers for them, they all, to the client, send an email. Oh my gosh, I see we're getting close to 1,000. Can we start to monetize? I'm like, sure, if you need 30 cents, because that's what you're going to get. And so if you're on YouTube to monetize, and that's the way you want to make money, then yes, you need to grow. You need to grow wildly, and you need to get people to watch it. Okay? if that's your goal. Now, I happen to know personally the owner of one of the largest racing channels on YouTube, okay, with, I don't even remember how many million subscribers. He has multiple channels with millions of subscribers. And he tells me all the time, it's the biggest mistake he ever made because it's so wildly inconsistent how much they make month to month. Now, on those types of channels, you got to do what? You got to create content that's entertaining. And if that's what you're in it for, go for it. Go create your entertaining content. However, if you're a business owner and you're actually trying to sell your products or your services, going viral, having massive channels, for what? How big is your addressable market? How many people in this world really can buy your product and service? Think about it for a moment. And how many of those people are on YouTube? And you're only going to get a percentage of them. If you're a local company serving a local area, then your market's even smaller. And so you may get and build a channel of 1,500 people, and that might be it. And guess what? That may be success for you. But that's where we started when I said we're getting a 30% click-through rate because we know the audience. And we're focused on that audience. We're not trying to get people to watch the video who have no interest in the product or service. We're trying to get people who actually care about what we're talking about. And so that's where you got to be really careful with YouTube. Why are you building your channel? Is it for views so that you can monetize or so that you can build your actual business and your actual product or service? Because then you got to also pay attention to who you take advice from. If you go take advice from Mr. Beast and you're trying to get people to buy your widget, guess what? It won't work.
It's a different thing. Yeah. Makes sense. The saddest thing that I see is when a lot of people create videos and just treat their YouTube channels like a video repository. Yeah. And I go see it and then I just see, you know, that they almost have like 100 videos, but almost all of them have no views. So I don't think it's like other channels like TikTok. In a lot of cases, they're like, just post because the algorithm, maybe you'll get lucky. I don't think YouTube is like that. You have to be definitely more strategic and have a goal, you like you said, and then do a lot of other things right to be successful too.
You do. And when you're working at selling your product or your service, you have to also understand it takes time. Okay? It takes time. You can get lucky on a channel like a TikTok and go viral with something, which I don't know why you ever would want to, but you could. We had a client last year, and it's hysterical because he actually fired us. Okay? He fired us after 6 months. He got frustrated. When he started, I said, we're starting a channel from zero. Like, you don't even have a website today. So we're starting everything from zero with you. This is going to take time to build. Need at least 6 months before we can start to move, right? He fired us in month six after saying, yeah, it's not happening. In month seven, all of his videos exploded.
Of course.
All of his videos. And when I say exploded, so I get why he was frustrated. I do. And I told him it would take time. We posted a video a week for 6 months. So that's about 24 videos. And two of them had over 100 views. And so he was frustrated. He's in medical weight loss. He thought, man, everybody needs this. I should get thousands and thousands of views, right? Month seven, all of his videos went from under 100 to 2,500 in 1 month. All of them. And then they just kept growing since.
Wow, that's pretty remarkable. Yeah, too bad he didn't give you the proper credit for that.
And it's okay. And we understand the game that we play. We understand what it's like. And so I also want you who are listening to us right now to hear that really clearly. It takes time. Okay. There was a lady who reached out to me recently on LinkedIn, and she was frustrated with her YouTube channel. And she was frustrated because someone told her that YouTube, posting on YouTube and putting a link to your website on YouTube will get you a high quality, high DA backlink, which will boost your website SEO. And she wrote to me because she knows what my background is. And she was frustrated because it didn't work. She got this advice and they lied to her. How could they have lied to her? What is she doing wrong? Can I help her? So I took a look at her channel. And in 4 months, she posted 3 videos. 3 videos in 4 months.
Yeah. Can't really have overnight success with only posting a few videos. It's not really the right expectation, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I had to tell her that. I was like, well, you've not done anything. Like, the channel just thinks you put up 3 videos. The algorithm thinks you put up 3 videos and you don't care about this channel. You're not building this. You're not posting consistently. But and it's true. She only posted with the hopes of getting a high DA backlink, which you weren't going to get anyway. But that's a whole nother conversation.
All right. These are great insights on YouTube and what it takes to be successful. Final thoughts on YouTube and video marketing.
Here's the deal. Here's what I want to tell you. Video marketing is not going away. As a matter of fact, video marketing is the present and the future. And right now, you have an opportunity to separate yourself from your competition. Because just like you're sitting here scared right now to get on video, so is your competition. And the one of you who does it is going to be able to create a chasm in your marketplace. The question is, why not you? Get started right now.
All right. Very inspiring. Thank you very much. I'm going to link to your website in the show notes so everyone can reach out and get in touch if they want to learn more and get help on how to live the dream. Appreciate you being with us today. Encourage everyone to share this episode with your friends so they can hear these great insights. And I always like to end the episodes by saying marketing will probably never be easy, but it should always be fun. So thanks for making it fun today. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Remarkable Marketing Podcast. Our passion is to bring you the marketing rock stars who share stories about the best marketing they've done, how it delivered, and how they handled all the challenges that go along with it. And we do it all in 10 minutes. We only ask 2 things. First, visit the RemarkableMarketing.io website for more great insights. Second, this podcast has been brought to you by the next generation social networking app, Workverse. You can download and use the Workverse app for free to build your professional brand, become a paid expert advisor, and discover the best business events to attend. Download the Workverse app today. See you next time on the Remarkable Marketing Podcast.